We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
This is the Best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
Good Monday morning. Glad you're with us. Hope you and yours are safe and well. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, we say that every morning. Good morning, and hope everyone's well. And after the weekend that the country went through, it's something that we need to say very clearly and very plainly, that we literally hope everyone is well. Because we are in a place right now where it doesn't feel like a lot is well in this country, and we feel like we're just sort of teetering on the edge, and I want us all to take a big collective breath and pull back from the edge and sort of delve into what's been going on.
No, listen, it's not a good morning. I mean, it's the bottom line. It's been a horrible year, yeah. You know, and it's just now been magnified by yet another situation that has been, you know, with the coronavirus and the pandemic, that's something new, right? This is something, I know we've had other viruses, but something new to us here and what's going on.
Never to this level in this in our lifetime.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. To economy shutting down. But what else is going on is something that is not new. That is something that has been going on for a long, long, long time. And for some, for a lot of people, that's still an uncomfortable thing for them to talk about, but it has to be talked about. It has to be talked about. It has to be, as we're going to talk about, protested as well, which it is, which that's a whole other situation to talk about there. But it is a situation that has been going on for too long. It's not going to end today. We know that. There's going to be no end. There's going to be no answer today. But there's going to be a hell of a lot of discussion, and there should be a hell of a lot of discussion with this going forward into what can be done.
You hope it's not the end of what should start happening today, though, because I'm with you. This isn't a new issue. Like, we've been talking about unarmed black people being killed by the police for a while now, and that has been something that the African American community has been trying to loudly draw, you know, attention to.
Correct.
For a while now. It became impossible to ignore this time.
Yeah.
And I forget, and I know we're going to hear from Myra Metcalf in a second, who is you know, fantastic talking about this weekend and explaining his perspective on it. But from an outside perspective, we have seen, as these issues have come up, it's been easy for people to try and see the other side on a lot of these things, or try and say, well, what about this? It could have been this in a lot of these situations. We saw 9 minutes of a dude getting his neck kneeled on until he died. That is impossible to ignore the reality of that situation. And so it's led to this, where it has finally been really grabbing this nation by the collar and saying, this is what we've been trying to tell you about. Black people have been trying to tell us about. What are you going to do about it now? And I don't know if it's people opening their eyes to it this time, not being able to hit it with whataboutism, but it's real, and it's here to stay, and it could be a starting point if you let it. Like, it could be a starting point for finally addressing the issues that are at the root of all this.
And look, I spent a large portion of yesterday trying to figure out what to say, you know, and one thing I did yesterday is I reached out to a lot of friends of mine of color and just said, I love you guys, and that I don't know what to say. I just want to listen to what you guys have to say. And I got a lot of really interesting texts and phone calls and feedback back. And I understand that we are sitting here as three white guys talking about this. And I think the most important thing we can do is listen to what other people are saying and make sure that it's validated and make sure that we understand that we hear you and we know what you are saying and we are willing to stand with you and say, this is not acceptable anymore. And we have to be willing to stand with our friends and coworkers and people of color and understand we recognize you, we value you, we see you, and we understand why you feel the way you feel.
Yeah, listen, as I said, we don't have the answers to this, but we can listen, and I'm sure there's going to be people say, why are you three white guys talking about this? You have no idea. You're right.
You're right.
We have no idea. None. But that doesn't mean we can't lend a voice, lend certainly at the very least an ear to listen to what's been going on. Something that we should be doing all the time is listening. God knows where we could be if there was more listening and working together in this world. But I how can you not, as we sit from 30,000 feet away, understand, at least look at it and say, man, I understand the frustration and the anger from minorities to say, again, so here's, they can just, I mean, that's the one thing when I hear the talks that people talk about, just listing off the people that have been, you know, unjustly killed. It's just like, there's one example of another. So yeah, we're three white guys that don't have the answers, but yeah, you know, we can listen and we can have a voice just like everybody can have a voice. As I said, it's not solved today, but as we've heard many African Americans speak and talk, you can, in the peaceful protest part, you can help solve this at local elections, at national elections, at different ways where you can collectively have a voice to help try and make a change. But I certainly can understand the anger now.
Oh, I can't imagine what it's like to be pushed to a point where what the response that we've seen this weekend is what you feel like is the only option you've got left. Because that's what this is, right? Like, you know, everyone see the quote by now, right now, riots are the language of the unheard. And you don't condone. A lot of what's gone on has been co-opted by third parties and turned
exactly
into something
right.
That
yes.
It's not.
Correct.
But for
yes.
People, and we listen, it's not the first time we've seen riots over race-related issues and instances of violence against African Americans by police. It is the riots are the language of unheard. Like, at some point, you've got no other options when you push people and you won't listen to the peaceful protests that come along the way. You won't listen to the voices like Colin Kaepernick that tried to tell you what's going on in a way that you didn't deem palatable. And so at some point, again, people are going to look up at you and say, Trey, just what you said there, like, we've all got people of color. We've all got black people in our lives yeah. that we love and cherish for all these other reasons. And I always said this about my teammates. If I had, you know, black teammates that I loved, that I thought were these fantastic people in so many other ways in life, and they all kept coming and telling me, hey, this is going on. We believe that we are being unfairly targeted by law enforcement in all these times. Why would they choose this one instance to lie to me?
Yeah.
Like, why in all these other ways would I value and love this person, but then in this way go, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I necessarily believe you here. Yeah. And so now it's, how do you take that? Like, loving someone is a verb. You got to do something.
Yeah.
And so it's great that we are all having this conversation and listening now. I hope it's there in 2 weeks.
Right. And speaking of listening, again, let's listen to someone else who has lived a different life than us. And that is our coworker, Myron Metcalf, who's going to join us in just about an hour. This was him on Sunday morning trying to sort of digest what happened over the weekend with all the protests because of the death and the murder of George Floyd. And this is what he had to say.
That was not a police officer making a split second decision, firing a weapon, and then us having a conversation about whether or not that was justified. This was 9 minutes, an opportunity to make a different decision, an opportunity to make a better choice, an opportunity to tell America that the life of this African American matters. And when you see that video, Matt, it's impossible to think that you matter in this country. It's impossible to think that you have value in this country when someone can sit on you for that long. If we pause for 9 seconds right now in the middle of this show, people go, oh my goodness, how awkward is that? There's silence. People would call us and go, hey guys, it's silent on the radio right now. What happened? Now imagine 9 minutes. And when you see that, it's impossible to go, okay, people respect me in this country. I'm valued. Instead, you feel like, man, the same stuff that my grandfather was fighting for in Mississippi growing up as a sharecropper, the same thing my father was fighting for as one of the few African-American men on the University of Wisconsin campus. I'm dealing with the same stuff.
Listen, we're outraged at what we saw, and minorities are saying, yeah, well, you should have been outraged this other time and this other time and this other time and this other time. So now you're outraged, yeah, because everybody could see, you know, that this murder, you know, go on the street. by this, I don't even call him an ex-cop anymore, this despicable, horrific person just kneeling on somebody's neck for 9 minutes. So, yeah, it can't be ignored. And I'm sure there are tons of people out there saying, you guys are a sports show, stick to sports. Well, this intersects with sports.
Sports is all over this.
It just does. And we'll get to actual sports as well, but also the intersection of what went on in the real world and sports as well.
Athletes are people first.
Yes.
Like, we're all people first. Like, I'm sorry. Like, bump that. We all lived, like, we all saw what happened this weekend. If you can sit up and wake up and ignore that this morning, God help you, because I'd hate to see what else you're capable of ignoring.
And we'll have much more on this throughout the show. Again, as we said, Myron Metcalf will join us a little bit later. Chinua Igwumike will join us as well. But coming up next, we'll get to a counterproposal for the one sport still trying to work out the money part of the pandemic virus. And hopefully they'll understand how ridiculous that sounds. We'll get to that after this.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. Even though live sports are on hold, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best networks. Same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games you know you're going to lose. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We're back after this on Golic and Wingo.
Golic.
Golic and Wingo.
And Wingo.
Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo and Mike Golic Sr.
Golic and Wingo with you. ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, smart speakers as well. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Hope you are rising and looking forward to a new day this Monday and a new way forward, as we just had just a horrific weekend on so many levels because of so many horrific things that have happened, and people just had enough. They just had enough. And all of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We heard a little bit of sound there in the rejoin there from Lavelle Moten. He's the head basketball coach at North Carolina Central University. And he made a really interesting, cognizant, important point about who we're hearing from, but even more specifically, and maybe more importantly, who he hasn't heard from in all of this. And I think you need to listen to what he had to say in totality yesterday morning to understand exactly what he's getting at.
Come across the timelines of coaches, everyone is silent. And I have a major issue with that. And for years, I've never really said anything, but now I think enough is enough, because here's the harsh reality. We have coaches in Power Five, football and basketball coaches. The reality is a lot of these coaches have been able to create generational wealth. I mean, their grandkids' kids are going to be able to live a prosperous life because athletes who were the complexion of George Floyd was able to run a football, throw a football, shoot a basketball, or whatever have you. So they have benefited greatly from athletes that look like George Floyd and many more. But whenever people, the complexion of George Floyd, is killed, assassinated, murdered in the street in broad daylight, they're silent. And I have a problem with that, because it seems as if black lives matter to them whenever they can benefit from it, right? Whenever they're getting them a first down, or, you know, catching an alley-oop or shooting a three or whatever. But when it's time for the humanity to speak up on behalf of those student-athletes, it's silence, it's cricket. And so my problem is if the murdering of black Americans, it's too risky of an issue for you to stand up as a leader, then who are they really playing for?
You know, it's interesting. He also went on to say that one of the things he does sometimes during the week with his team in coaching them is he brings four chairs onto the floor of the basketball court and coaches his kids, his African-American players on his team, how to deal with being pulled over by the police and what you should do and what you should not do. And twice say, with your hands on the wheel, may I please show you my license? May I reach in? He said he even wanted the kids to reach into their pocket. He said he wanted to have their driver's license on the dashboard so they could just take their hands from the wheel to the dashboard so there would be no hesitation, thought process whatsoever, what might be interpreted as something else if you're doing something as pedantic as reaching for your driver's license.
It's ridiculous that we have to do it.
Yet think about that.
And yet it's the reality of the situation that it needs to be done. How many times have you heard fathers, that we've heard stories of fathers, minority fathers telling their kids, if you get pulled over, do this, do this. It sounds absurd because, again, none of us have ever been in that situation or will ever be in that situation. Yet as part of parenting, or in this case, coaching, that's something you have to go over. It seems absurd because it will never happen to us. But in this world, you know, unfortunately, it's happening too many times.
I was going to say that is something that it is so overwhelmingly sad. But I've heard that so many times from teammates that talk about the getting pulled over for a DWB driving while black, like the bar is get home safely.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. And that's what we look at in all these situations. And we've heard from so many people that are, you know, parents of young, you know, young black kids in this situation, basically saying, this is what we're afraid of. Like, I'm afraid of having to bury a child because of something like this, the way so many others have.
Well, let's keep going with this. Vanderbilt head coach, Derek Mason, he can kind of continues on that story of what he does in these situations.
I mean, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and this is how, you know, I mean, it really hit home for me. My wife said, Derek, I'm looking at you, and I can remember your dad. My stepdad's an ex-military guy, but she said, when I first met you, he always had this lanyard around his neck, and he always had one for you. And he was on you all the time about wearing that lanyard around your neck. And here's why. He always wanted me to keep my driver's license and my registration around my neck. So if I ever got pulled over, okay, man, I would never have to reach, you know, for anything or reach in a glove compartment. And, you know, that's sort of what my conversation was about yesterday, just a little bit. It's like, okay, man, you grow up, you know, in this microcosm of okay, man, do these things and make it home safe. Okay, man, that's what I was always told. Do these things and you make it home safe. And, you know, even in doing these things, you know, man, what we saw, you know, with the death of you know, man, George Floyd was the idea, man, that he did things right and he didn't make it home safe. And that's scary. That's scary for a lot of parents. That's scary for, you know, young men in this country. So, man, we got to address these issues and we got to make sure we get it right.
So you hear Derek Mason talk about that. You hear Coach Moten talk about what he does with his players. But what about what Moten said?
Yeah.
The responsibility of white people, right? Power Five coaches who have power who are white. You know, what is, because the responsibility is everywhere, right? We'll never know this situation. Dabo Swinney will never know of this situation. You know, other coaches will never know of this situation. But what is their responsibility as the tops in their field and what they do, and for guys who are coaching, basically the majority of their team that they're coaching are minorities.
Well, and in a lot of cases, what you represent in the state, and listen, Dabo, as being one of the best coaches in college football, is going to get the arrow pointed at him a lot on this, and especially because his young white quarterback in Trevor Lawrence came out with a statement, and one that resonated with a lot of people this weekend, as, all right, Trevor Lawrence is never going to know what these guys experience, but as he said in his statement in this one, I'm going to side with my brothers on the team who go through this. He said, I'm siding with my brothers that deal and continuously deal with things I'll never experience. The injustice is clear, and so is the hate. It can no longer be explained away. If you're still explaining it, check your heart and ask why.
Right.
So for him to come out and say that, and as Bomani Jones pointed out, Dabo Swinney is the highest paid employee in that state. And so people are looking at him, and he's a guy that's been a leader and been outspoken on so many other issues. It's a reason people are going to look to him and other big-time Power Five coaches and say, all right, like, you have as much exposure to young black men who are dealing with this stuff as anyone. Like, exposure is not an excuse that, you know, that some other people can fall back on. These guys can't, and so this should matter a lot to you.
Yeah, some of the other things Trevor said, there has to be a shift in the way of thinking. Rational must outweigh irrational. Justice must outweigh injustice. Love must outweigh hate. If you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you don't like how it feels, that's when you know things need to change. And you're right. Seeing those comments from a junior in college, who is the quarterback and in many ways the face of Clemson football, and not hearing anything from above is a little startling.
No, it is. And again, not looking for people like that to have the answers. We're not going to have the answers, but to come out with something.
We heard from Nick Saban.
Yeah, we have.
And I can say, and you know what? It's not like a I don't know if it's a measuring contest, but it is. We have heard enough over the weekend. Like, silence is complicit. Like, people are looking around right now and seeing, all right, like, who is going to speak out with us? Because that is like, and there also shouldn't be a lot of back padding. Like, it's cool that Trevor did this, but this is the bare minimum
that we can all do, right?
Yeah. Like, no one should break their shoulder patting themselves on the back for coming out and having a stance against the one of the most obvious racially motivated, you know, instances of an officer killing an unarmed black person. Like, there shouldn't be an overwhelming amount of back padding, but it really is the bare minimum that you can do right now in a lot of people's minds.
What can be the role for the, you know, us again as three white radio talk and TV talk show hosts or coaches? We see players getting involved, and we'll get to a Jaylen Brown from the Celtics driving 15 hours to Atlanta for a peaceful protest. We'll hear from him. But Ryan Saunders, the Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, he talked about, okay, as a white male, what's my role in this?
First role is to be vocal and to stand with our black brothers and sisters who need that empathy and show that empathy towards what is happening in our country. George Floyd, I mean, he should still be alive right now, but there's a number of other black males especially that should still be alive right now. And we need to stand with those individuals. And I think being vocal is big, but then taking action. I don't know what the action is yet, but I know that there's good people, not just in Minnesota, but in this country that can take action. We just need to commit to it and stay with it. And, you know, I think a lot of that comes to helping build relationships and using platforms, any type of resources we have to become stronger in those relationships with somebody who, you know, doesn't look like you.
And that, of course, was on the ESPN Daily podcast with Ryan Saunders talking about that. And again, no one has the answers, and I don't know how we get there, but I think we need to have more time to discuss these things and more ways to listen to what other people are saying.
I think one of the other things here is people are looking at this one incident. Like, I got a tweet. I get there are bad cops, but let's not forget this whole stinking mess in this case started with one man. You're right. But for the people that are protesting, they're listing off the names of one after another black person who was unjustly killed by that one man, and then that one man, and then that one man. So, Scott, I get it. This one was started because of the one man. But for those protesting, look at some of the signs they're holding, listing the amount of minorities that have been killed by that one man. I mean, and at some point, you just have enough. You just say, this is ridiculous that it's still going on.
And it wasn't that one man in that situation.
Right.
I think four cops.
Right, but means the one guy who's going to be charged for the
most. And that was one guy who had a number of instances leading up to this that maybe should have told somebody something. And that was one guy we saw because someone happened to be filming with their phone right now. And that was the one that led to someone dying. That's not just someone being unjustly harassed. That's not someone being roughed up outside of their car because they are driving around at the wrong time or with someone else deemed the wrong place. Like, it making it down to one thing. Now, focusing on the specific issue, which again in all this, because a lot of people have pointed out, man, in, you know, institutional racism, it's this horrible thing, but then it's easy to throw your hands up and say, well, it's such a complicated problem, we don't know what to do to solve it. People are telling you, no, in this instance, reminder, this specific issue, and the specific issue going back all the way to Colin Kaepernick and what he was kneeling for, was the idea of police brutality as it relates to black people and brown people in this country. And so don't lose sight of that in all of this, is that, yes, it's okay, it's it's appropriate to look at this specific issue and start by, all right, if we're being told over and over again this is a problem, we can't fix systemic racism overnight. And we've talked about that in relationship to the Rooney Rule and hiring practices that go outside of the world of sport. But you can look at this specific issue and say, all right, what are some concrete steps that we can start to take? Because that's been one of the things looking at it around this time. What's been different is I have seen people offering something in the way of, hey, here are some places you can go for information on all of this. Here are some funds that are going to go towards people that are trying to make a difference in these areas specifically right now. The Minnesota Freedom Fund is a community-based nonprofit that pays for criminal bail and immigration bonds, something that they believe unjustly affects and disproportionately affects the minority communities. Reclaim the Block is a coalition for advocates that invest in community-led safety initiatives in Minnesota neighborhoods. This is locally in Minnesota where all of this started in this case, that are just at Campaign Zero, an online platform, an organization that utilizes research-based policy solutions to end police brutality. These are places and information that are being put online where if you're serious, because don't make this performance art either.
Yeah.
Don't let it be, oh, I feel so bad about all this stuff. This is terrible. While everyone's looking and can see me, and then in a few days, we all go back to business as usual. You can find, and people are giving you information on ways that you can help other people who know what they're doing, who can learn more about this. So take the time and opportunity. I hope you had some uncomfortable conversations this weekend. Now start to look. And when you ask that question for information, follow up on it. Yeah. Find one that really speaks to you and say, you know what, let me learn more about this and see what I can do to help out. And that's in the immediacy. That's before, as I've heard a number of people say that are way smarter than me, you start taking this to the polls. You start taking this to your local elections and affecting your sphere in ways that are going to help with those policies. So there are actionable portions of this that are starting to present themselves. Take the opportunity to learn about some of those.
Yeah, it's not just a reaction to what we're seeing, but what steps are we willing to take going forward, right? And the weird sports sometimes has been a unifying force in all of this, because we talked about it and Bill Curry talked about the huddle, and
right,
you're in that huddle together. And you guys have been in that locker room together. There are things that are said in there and hashed out in those situations where you can just lay everything out and people can have an honest discussion about it, and then you see actionable force coming from that. And that's sort of missing right now because not much is going on, and that usually is a very good opportunity because, as you said, Junior, when you go to that locker room, you have people from all different kinds of backgrounds that you have to find a way to get along with and deal with and listen to the bleep they've had to deal with their entire lives, and that's missing in so many places right now.
Well, and in this particular, like, so what happened, because you're right, like, it's a very easy place to have some uncomfortable conversations, right, if you're willing. And that's what we saw. Colin Kaepernick's protest forced a lot of NFL teams to have those internal discussions, right? We heard about a lot of teams having to come together and have those discussions before they decided what as a team they were going to do to support this protest. And that form of protest and what Colin did was uncomfortable for a lot of people, but man, it held your attention and man, it made you think about it. This, everything that's gone on from the protests to the riots are uncomfortable for a lot of people, and we certainly don't want to see places destroyed and all that violence. But at some point, some people feel like they've had no other option, and it is forcing you to listen and hopefully have some of those same uncomfortable conversations outside of that locker room setting in the, you know, in real life right now, and maybe, just maybe, see some of that same growth that you would hope to see in those spots.
I wonder if anybody going all the way back to the Colin Kaepernick situation that we certainly talked about and dealt with, if those that were just so against him, you know, wanted him, you know, dude, listen, the dude's been blackballed from the league. We know that. If you were so incensed by that, if at all any part of you understands now of the peaceful protest that it wasn't against the flag, it wasn't against the military, it was for this.
Yeah.
For this that happened. This is what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do. And you may not like all the ways he went about it or the things he wore with the socks and all that. I understand. But his overall protest was this, nothing more. And even Nate Boyer, who was in the military, was trying to tell you that as well. I just wonder if it's changed anybody, because for a while, the message got lost because everybody was so mad at him. And are people going to start to say that about this situation because of the violence and the looting and the destruction that's going on? Is the message of George Floyd and the things that have happened to people before that, is it going to get lost? Because I have people tweeting, are you going to condemn the rioting that's out there? If you're not, then you're complicit by being silent. Listen, I don't want to see buildings get burned and
Nobody
stuff like that.
Does.
And also, now you're getting into a whole different faction of different people coming in. It is
the people that are protesting and the people that are truly upset are not right now largely the same people that are causing all that violence after dark.
They are not. But for those that are protesting the death of minority, that are, you know, doing some damage out there. Okay. Do I like that? No, but I'm also not in their situation. I haven't had it up to here with something so much that there's that venting and outlet. Do I like it? No. Do I wish it wouldn't happen? Yes. And now with these other factions in here, these people not even associated with this who take the opportunity to come in and piggyback on it and damage things, you know, and hurt people and loot and destroy. That, listen, we all condemn that. But as far as the people that have been wronged here, the race that has been wronged to show some violent acts, I wish they wouldn't do it, but I'm in no position to point my finger Correct. At them and say, you have been wronged for so long, but hey, don't do that.
Yeah. Tell someone else how to deal with pain that I can't imagine. Yeah.
Correct.
But that's the goalpost moving that goes on. That's what happened with Kaepernick, with Colin Kaepernick, where you can try and make it about something else, but we shouldn't let them. Like in this situation, just because it's not palatable to you from your place of privilege to say, don't make me uncomfortable with the way you choose to go about it, that's the part of this that we gotta kind of rebuke.
What's always hard in this situation is two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And some people always want to choose, it can only be one of those things. Two things can be true here. There is no more excuses for senseless deaths like that, and there's really no reason for people to do the looting part either. Those things can both be true. That doesn't make it wrong. We'll have lots more on this throughout the morning, plus some very important voices you need to hear on this. Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning.
Golic.
I tell you what, a great sports night last night, no doubt about it.
And Wingo.
What a day, what a show, what a time. So we're delighted to have Myron with us this morning. Myron, first of all, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your perspective. How are you today?
It's been an emotional week. I mean, I'm good, but, you know, when you live here in Minneapolis area, it's sort of a nonstop stream of information and, you know, people just kind of reaching out and everyone trying to figure out how they move forward after what happened to George Floyd.
So I guess that is the question. I mean, because it has gotten kind of really muddied, Myron, with the other faction seeming to coming in and trying to take advantage of this situation and cause damage to it's making it very frustrating and confusing, I'm sure, for especially people, you know, on the ground there. So where does it go from here?
Well, I think, you know, it happened a week ago. And already George Floyd is no longer the headline. And I think that's unfortunate. So we've got to get back to what happened and dealing with that day and the anger that came from that day. A number of events have happened since then. There's been a lot of peaceful protests, but there have been some violence as well, some looting and fires. And I mean, there is a lot of fire and smoke and places that burn to the ground. It's a bad scene in Minneapolis, and we have to rebuild. But we can't forget what happened a week ago to George Floyd. And that, to me, has to be the headline. We can't put this up like Christmas lights and take it down because we decided to move on to something else. We've got to focus on what happened to George Floyd, why, and we've got to dissect that so it doesn't continue to happen.
Talking to Myron Metcalf with us here on Golic and Wingo. Myron, what have you made of maybe the general response from the world of sports and all this? Obviously, it's had many forms, but in general, as you've seen that portion of our lives intersect with this, what does it look like to you?
Well, you know, I'm glad a lot of people have stepped up and, you know, made their statements, and they have certainly said that this is something they don't want to see happen again, and I respect all of that. But I also think this is the easy part. This is the convenient time. To talk about this right now is the news of the day. You know, if you talk about George Floyd, you're doing what's trending. Talk about it a month from now, 6 months from now. That, to me, is the real test, because we address these issues in the moment and then we move on. And I don't think that's a solution for lasting change. So I'm happy people are reaching out. I'm happy people are standing up. But this has to be something that goes beyond a couple of days and a couple of tweets.
Yeah, no question. Myron Metcalf with us this morning. And you spoke to Lavelle Moten, the North Carolina Central men's basketball coach. And basically, we played that sound this morning as well. He said, I'm upset by the silence from so many other Power Five coaches. What did you make of his message? And what do we need to hear from those people in power in this time?
Well, I think, you know, Lavelle was specifically talking about some of the white Power Five coaches, and just that this always falls on black coaches. You know, we always look to the black coaches to say, okay, what do you think? We know what they think because they live this. But I think if there are allies in the coaching world at these Power Five schools, now's the time to stand up. And again, I respect some of the statements that we've seen, but what's the action from here? This is the easy time, but will you make this a critical component of how you coach? Your messaging, that becomes the real test. And I think a lot of black coaches I know feel like the entire burden falls on them, you know, and there aren't that many of them. But when moments like this happen, people go, well, what does James Franklin think? What does Lavelle Moten think? No, what does Coach K think? What does Bill Self think? What does Nick Saban think? I think those have to be the questions as well, not just the black coaches in moments like this. And I think that's what Lavelle was saying.
How about kind of anybody, you know, I said at the beginning of this show, Myron, we're three white, you know, yeah, sports broadcasting, you know, hosts out here who don't have answers, but also want to discuss this and be part of it. But I can't give an answer. We can listen as best we can, but what do we do? You know, what do we do to help if we can help at all in a situation like this?
I said this on the show yesterday, you know, African Americans, especially in moments like this, we don't have an option to have uncomfortable conversations. This is our lives, right? This is our experience. And I guess I would challenge more white people in this country to have those uncomfortable conversations, to talk to those people who might not share your views, talk to those people who, you know, might have perspectives that you don't agree with. You've got to be able to break the ice in those situations, because if you don't, and you're only having conversations with African Americans, especially in a moment like this, I really think that's the easy way out. I think it's important to listen and to educate yourself, but then you got to take that home. You know, I think real change happens at the dinner table. It happens at the barbershop. It happens at your place of worship. It doesn't just happen in tweets and conversations like this. You got to go beyond that and bring it home.
Myron, I'm curious, through any of the conversations that you've had in all of this, has there been anyone whose reaction or response has truly surprised you in this?
Well, I mean, I would say locally, what we're not seeing is just a number of people who have dropped off groceries and they're cleaning up. And there's been a nonstop effort to try to help this city rebuild. But I do have a buddy who I think symbolizes what's happening here. He certainly understands the anger as a minority in this country. But his wife is also a business owner, and she had to board up her business this weekend to protect it. His mom is in a senior home locally, and they weren't sending any staffers this weekend because of the rioting and the fears of that. So I think there are a lot of people like that in this city who understand the anger, support the peaceful protests, but they're also trying to deal with this other element that's difficult to really process. So it's a big undertaking for everybody involved, and there aren't any simple solutions.
No, there's not. And as we're talking with Myron Metcalf, and again, this is the thing that I think is so frustrating to so many people, is this is not a one-off in any way, shape, or form. This is the latest and perhaps arguably the most blatant. But it's like, when I'm not going to lie to you, Myron, I'm really struggling to be able to sort of voice things, because I don't feel like I have the wherewithal or the experience to deal with the things the way that you have dealt with them, in terms of, I feel like my job now is just to shut the hell up and listen to what everyone else is saying. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's unfortunate, in that what this has really done, one of the things I've noticed, just my own friendships and relationships, it's made it awkward, you know, to talk to your white friends. And I'm sure it's made it awkward for, you know, you all to talk to people like me. And I think that can't be the case. Like, we can't allow situations like this to make us all freeze up and go, this is sort of an awkward situation, we don't know what to do. No, we have to have these conversations and really lead those conversations. And I don't have all the answers. And I think everybody who wants a simple solution, you're never going to find it. But we have to keep talking, and then that has to turn to action, and it has to be lasting action. Today's easy. You know, a week from what happened, that's the easy part. But 3 months from now, we have a tendency to move on to the next kickoff or the next tip off. And I think that's why
you know, these things happen in cycles. It's not a constant part of the conversation.
So what's the best way? You know, we could see the immediate effect, Myron, that the officer, ex-officer, whatever you want to call that person, gets arrested later than we all think he should have been, and three others should be arrested. And so I get that being a disappointing part of why aren't those others, you know, arrested yet. So we have the immediacy of that, and hopefully there's prosecution, and hopefully, you know, what should happen to them happens to them. From the side of being locked up if they are found guilty of this, and God knows why they wouldn't. But that's now. What going forward, what in your mind that you said that keeps this going can really invoke actual change? What needs to be done?
I think in sports, we are in the best position to have some of these difficult conversations because you have so many high profile athletes and coaches who are minorities. And I think we can have these conversations continuously. Like, it doesn't have to take a situation like what happened a week ago. But I think that's big change, right? Little change is the thing that people need to focus on. It's about valuing people. At the end of the day, when people watch that video, that is us as African Americans watching you devalue this officer, that man's life. And that's what we've experienced as African Americans forever. The idea that we're not worth as much as white people in this country. So it has to start with valuing people around you, not based on what they have or their income or education, but just based on the fact they're human. And that sounds like some kumbaya stuff, but that's the reality of where we're at in a society, I think.
Sadly, it certainly is. And hopefully this can be some that tipping point where we do move forward and we start to have those meaningful conversations that will continue and not just be something, as you said, that we talk about in the now, but in the future going forward. Myron, we appreciate you. We appreciate your time this morning. We hope you and yours are safe and well. We wish nothing but the best for the city of Minneapolis going forward.
Thank you.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Golic and Wingo.
It was all sort of one big giant Jell-O mold. It's
very interesting where that went.
Chinee Igwumike, our fine NBA analyst and one of the best players in the world in basketball. Chinee, how are you? We appreciate your time this morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I miss you guys, but I'm doing well. I'm here with my family in Houston, Texas, just, you know, staying safe. But I know it's a somber past week, a few months for everyone, so we're all managing.
Chinee, I guess you mentioned there you're managing. This is certainly not something that is, unfortunately, a new problem to the black community and what people have gone through with this. Is there anything that, especially with the reaction that you've seen in the last few days over the weekend, what's felt so different about it this time around?
Well, the thing is, I would just say so many people are just tired because this is something that continues to happen. And, you know, a lot of people are challenging their peers, which I think is great. No matter what race you are, we are holding everyone accountable for the society that we want to live in. And I guess the reason why a lot of people are being challenged, why athletes, as it pertains to, I guess, more specifically my friends in the NBA, the WNBA or NFL, why athletes, you don't really have to challenge them. There's so many different things that I've seen, you know, Jaylen Brown, even Karl-Anthony Towns. The reason why you see athletes, I think, not having to be challenged, athletes leading the charge when it comes to social change, I think it's at the root of it all, it's in our DNA. We're team players, we're wired to care for the last player on the bench as much as we care about ourselves. You guys know that we've been athletes almost our entire lives. This is why you see over the weekend Jaylen Brown, I think, driving 15 hours to lead a peaceful protest in his hometown. This is why a lot of people forget Maya Moore has chosen to forego WNBA seasons in her prime in order to fight for the wrongfully convicted. This is why you see, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, the star of the Timberwolves, Minnesota, Minneapolis, the city that is at the heart of the struggle. He's still showing strength after his mom. He lost his mom due to the pandemic. These athletes have so inspired, I think, not just, you know, us, but the entire world, because I think, you know, the more I think about this and the more I'm proud to be a part of the sports community, we operate in a merit-based world, right? Like, when we play, we're judged by our performance, right? Not what we look like, not our pigmentation. So I guess when we leave the arena, these things are not always the same, but we still are wired to care about everyone. That's just what we do when we go to the gym, when we're trying to, you know, play and win and fight for a championship. You can't turn that on or off. So I think it's been really inspiring to see all these athletes be at the forefront without being challenged. Just, you know, as we always say, we are always in the position of wanting to take one for the team. And I think there have been so many people, we put athletes on a pedestal, but at the same time, the last few months, we've been able to see who the real heroes are, like the essential workers, and then also the people that are really trying to lend a voice and let people understand and educate why we still struggle in society. And it's not only educating, like letting it resonate, people. But, you know, this is why I love you guys, because all we ask is for an ear, for people to listen, to sort of step into someone else's shoes. So, like, the events of the last week have been extremely disheartening. I have had so much trouble sleeping and just trying to understand why this is going on and why it's still going on. But I, at the same time, I'm proud of my friends like you guys. I'm proud of my peers, my athlete friends, for doing what they've always done and lending their voice to something that really matters. I guess that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's time for this talk with Chinea, Straight Talk, in every way, shape, and form, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And look, we are happy to listen, but the question then becomes is what do we do going forward? How do we find a way to turn such a horrible thing into something that can be a positive outcome in the future?
Honestly, we don't have the answer. We really don't have the answer. I think the hardest part about it all is you see a community struggling. You see a community bearing the responsibility. Is it our job to bear the responsibility? No. So there's no true answer. I think it's, you know, everything comes back to like sports to me, just because that's what I know. You go out there, you play, you may fail, but you learn from that failure. So I would just say, no one should be in a position of judging someone else. If you are, then you are part of the problem. And I think it's just recognizing what our own implicit biases are and choosing not to do that again. And a lot of people think, well, what can I do? And the littlest you can do is just shifting your mindset. Because I think people think, oh, is it money? Do I have to go? Do I have to move? It's evaluating your heart. Because once you do that, things hit you different and you won't be making the same choices. You'll be more aware, and that's more beneficial for us in the long term. So there's no real answer besides having compassion for the next man or woman next to you. No, I don't have the answers. It just is fail, fail again, fail better. That's, I think, the cycle that we're in right now. And that's the cycle we've been in as athletes when we play and compete. That's just where we're at.
And we all say, you know, it needs to change today, but we're not, you know, it's not that one thing that's going to change that all of a sudden is going to make it everything better. And unfortunately for the minority community, this isn't the first, you hope it's the last, but probably not the last situation where you get a reaction like this. So I guess I would ask, because you've heard a lot of this before, is there something you heard over these last few days in any of these protests by action or by somebody saying something that struck you a little different this time that you really said, wow, okay, that was important to hear or see?
I don't think it was anything that I heard. I think everyone that has chosen to speak has been speak positively has been a positive contributor to changing the dialogue. We are in unprecedented times. A lot of things don't make sense, whether it is a global pandemic or the continual persecution of people of color. Those things don't make sense. Those things are near impossible if you are a human being to wrap your head around. So I would just say that when you're trying to, I guess the most impactful thing I've realized is when it came to global pandemic, we had the necessary measures to protect each other. The persecution of people of color is probably history's maybe one of the longest pandemics. And we need protective measures for that problem as well. Obviously, you know, what we just dealt with as a on the global stage was huge. But this is something that does create the loss of life. So I think people realizing that we are capable as society to help one another, we're also in a position where people are suffering, loss of jobs, just dealing with more, even like putting their lives on the line, similarly in hospitals, taking care of one another. Like, we are really honoring the true essence of humanity now. We've shown that we are capable. I guess what I've seen has been different. I think it's just that awakening, knowing that we are capable of being better collectively, and hopefully that will carry over to situations like this so this can be stopped.
And all of that from Chinay is absolutely straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinay, as always, it's good to hear your voice, and we appreciate you, and we're listening, and we just hope that you and yours are safe and well.
Thank you so much. I miss you guys. I love you guys. And hopefully I will see you guys again soon, obviously, with 6 feet in between us. So,
absolutely.
There's room in the basement here.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Plenty of social distancing to go around, for
just,
sure.
Just great to hear a voice.
Golic and Wingo.
Let's not expect too much. There's only one person out there that's expecting way too much out of this guy too early. We know who that is. It's his father.
Figure this thing out better all the way around. We're delighted to be joined by our next guest, Devin George. Devin George, of course, three-time NBA champion, selected in the first round, 23rd overall, by the Lakers in the 1999 draft, and is a Minneapolis native.
Right.
Has long been associated with that city. Devin, we appreciate your time this morning. First of all, how are you doing? How is everybody?
Everybody's good. We're all safe. Everybody's good. The buildings and projects, developments that are up and the ones that are under construction right now, they're all safe. The people are, you know, really protecting and watching after it and making sure things don't happen. But my message to them is it's there's more important things, you know, than the building. There's insurance and stuff. So if something happens, it is what it is. Make sure everyone be safe.
Devin George, again, in Sacramento now, lives in both Sacramento and Minneapolis. But when the pandemic hit, couldn't get back to Minneapolis, been in California since March. So I know you've obviously have talked to people back in Minneapolis where this particular incident all got started. What has been the most positive thing that, if there is anything at this point, that you have heard or seen?
The most positive thing that I've seen is that really, I believe people that have been crying out for help, people that have been crying out to let people know the things that have been going on in these communities, I think people understand that it's real, that it's true, that those things really did happen. And I think they got everyone's attention. I think that's that's one of the positive things. The other thing is that I'm seeing now is that there's more and more people that are in the system that weren't trusted as far as, you know, people in high places in the government or police officers are coming out supporting and saying what was done was wrong. I stand with you. That's not right. That's helping a little bit, but there's a long way to go. But I think may have been the chief or someone in Flint that's there. And I saw some other cops in New York, and that's helping the situation of people understanding this is what's going on. It was wrong. I'm not with it. Because before it's been, hey, yes. This is this guy that killed this person. Hey, he's our brother. We wear blue. You know, we stand with him. We're not with them. That's not what we do. And people are separating themselves. So I think that's one of the positive things that I've been seeing at this.
Yes, that officer you were talking about in Flint, Michigan, took off his helmet, laid down his baton, and they all actually walked with the protesters together.
Exactly. Yes. Talking to Devin George here with us about that reaction that we've seen everywhere. And part of that has been certainly what people have seen now, some of the violence that stemmed from that. And I'm curious, Devin, as someone who's not only, you know, someone who's affected by this and the way an entire community is, but also you mentioned is a business owner, is someone who has property around there, has seen that stuff. How have you balanced what you've seen from this reaction and from this response?
Well, I mean, it's tough because this is it's a shock to some people. To me, it's not. From being a person that has worked in the community, has my nonprofits there, I do affordable housing. I'm constantly working with people in the community, and people that are in it can see it coming a mile away. The reason why is there are so many hopeless people that have no hope. No reason to look for tomorrow. All of us that live our lives, we have something to look forward to. Our kids are safe. Our kids are healthy. They're going to school. We have our kids game coming up on Saturday. They play basketball, they soccer, whatever it is. But you have so many people that just have nothing to look forward to tomorrow. And that's the dangerous thing is the system was creating more and more people that had nothing to look forward to. And that's what you see when you see the looting, when you see the rioting, and you see all the stuff that's going on, and the people there, they don't have anything. Those aren't people that have a possible promotion on their job coming up next week or next month, or a possible interview that they're going to be called in next week or whatever. Those are people that have nothing to lose. They've been sitting down, the game of life, there's no hope. There's no way for me of winning. It's pushed against me. And then I'm stuck in this area in a food desert. No place to eat, no place to go, no transportation, no health care. And this is what you get. And those are dangerous people to deal with, people that have nothing to look forward to tomorrow. And the system creates more and more of those people. And that is why us as athletes or former or local heroes, when we come back, it gives the community some kind of hope because they know this guy doesn't have to be here. He's here. He's looking after me. He's helping my kids. He's mentoring this kid when they see us. And so that is what our job is, to restore some hope. But sometimes it's just too much.
As we're talking to Devin George, who, of course, has business in the Minneapolis area, is a Minneapolis native and also a former NBA player. I know you have three sons, and we heard from the North Carolina Central basketball coach about how he coaches his players at times, not only in basketball, but literally he will put chairs on the floor of the gymnasium and try to coach them how to deal with being pulled over by a policeman and the things that you should and shouldn't do. How much of what we saw play out, how much do you talk about these with your sons all the time?
It doesn't matter because, you know, the color of our skin, it's all the same. Even though we don't necessarily live in the area, it doesn't matter. On our end, there's just, if that person is racist or if they have an agenda, it doesn't matter if we're not committing a crime. It's just the color of our skin. It could be a jealous factor. You know, hey, what are you driving this car for? What are you in this neighborhood for? Oh, you're resisting. And so it goes, but my 13-year-old is pretty big. And, you know, the studies that are out there of kids that are a certain age, that are 8 years old, people think they're 15, or 15-year-olds, people think they're 21 years old. They don't see that. And so that adds to the stereotypes or the insecurities or whatnot that some police officers have. And it is something that we need to teach our boys. It's a scary situation because the police have your life in their hand. And all they have to say in the past was, in my life, feel threatened. I saw he had a toothpick and I thought I was going to die. He had a toothpick in his mouth and I thought he was going to stab me and kill whatever it is. And then they're off. That's all they have to say. My life was threatened. And then you have videotape and you have evidence. There's no winning. It's not even they're winning against my word, against yours. There's clear videotape of a violation where anybody else would be put in jail and they get off.
Wow. Yeah. Devin, listen, we appreciate your time this morning. We appreciate and understand what you and your family and what your boys deal with on a daily basis. And we hear you and we appreciate you sharing that with us this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This has been the Best of Golic and Wingo podcast. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or just ask your smart speaker to play Golic and Wingo. Plus, you can check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.